Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we're going to continue a conversation we started last month with a next generation leader who's asked a question that we all need to ask. Andy, why don't you reintroduce our guest?
Yes, our special guest in our palatial podcast studios here, which is actually a closet with three microphones, is Clay Scroggins. Dr. Clay Scroggins joined us part-time on our staff in 2003, full-time 2006. Georgia Tech graduate, a super bright guy. I have a feel a personal connection to Clay because he was very influential in my kids' lives at a very pivotal time in their lives. So I'm very, very grateful for that. And Clay invited me into a conversation some time ago where he was working on a message he was going to give, and he invited my feedback. And I appreciated that. And then as I thought about it, I thought, Clay does this all the time. Of all of our staff members, I don't know anyone who is quicker to invite feedback and to invite people into the process. And consequently, he's a better leader for it. So we got some people together and said, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the art of inviting feedback. And Clay showed up at our meeting with an outline. It was extraordinary. I asked him to share it with our entire staff. And then Lane and I thought, Podcast. So let's start with, I guess the way to start is to recap. Clay, would you reintroduce the question that you gave us last month, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thanks for having me. This is an honor for me. And the question that we posed last month, the question that I have encouraged our staff to ask, the question that I have personally been encouraged to ask is, to my boss, to the people working beside me, the people working on my team, if you were me, what would you do differently in whatever the situation is? If it's a decision I need to make, a event that we're running, something that I presented, if you were me, what would you do differently? I think is a great question to ask because it invites people's feedback, just like you said. It gives people an opportunity to tell you what they are already thinking about what you're doing.
Yeah, one of the things that we talked about last month was the fact that everybody has an opinion basically about everything that we do, and we either benefit from those opinions or we don't. And if there's not a vehicle by which to invite that feedback, then we don't get any better as leaders. And the more influence we have in an organization, as we've talked about on our podcast before, information gets filtered as it moves up. And the more influence you have in an organization, the less, you know, unfiltered feedback that you're going to get. So I think this is an important question at every level in the organization, but it is probably most important for those of us who lead organizations. If you were me, what would you do differently?
And Andy, last month, I think for the first time on our podcast, you gave our podcast listeners homework.
Yeah, I did. I said, hey, before we gather, you know, around the speaker next month, wherever you listen to the podcast, I want you to at some point in some meeting, either one-on-one or with your team, to find a way to ask this question. Hey, in light of what we've just talked about, if you were me, what would you do differently? In light of the fact that we're trying to make this decision, if you were me, what would you do differently? And the reason I found this to be so helpful, and I'm so glad Clay took the time to craft it the way he did, is that I know for me, sometimes I'm in a meeting and we're trying to solve a problem, and I'm listening through two filters. I'm listening through the, I want to understand what my team is feeling. At the same time, I'm trying to figure out, what should I do? What do I do with this information? Right. I believe you. I believe, you know, there are two or three options. I believe there's a problem we need to solve. But then I feel like sometimes I take full responsibility for trying to figure out what I should do next, and to invite people into the equation to say, okay, instead of me carrying full responsibility, I'm going to invite you in now into the process of helping me decide what I should do. So the question's perfect. So if you were me, what would you do differently? Now that we've discussed this, now that everybody's shared their opinions, instead of me trying to figure this out on my own, if you were me, what would you do differently?
And today on the podcast, we're not going to talk to the people like Clay out there. We're going to talk to the people like me, the people who didn't do their homework, you know, because I know there are a lot of leaders out there who took your advice, who did their homework. But I also know there are probably quite a few who got right to the moment and then the question stuck in their throat. So today we're just going to dig in a little bit about why that happens, why for some of us, that question is just a tough question to ask.
Yeah, and one of the things I wanted Clay to talk about specifically is What is the internal conversation he has? Because we all have that internal conversation. Mm. We want to know, but we don't want to know. We're afraid of what we're going to hear, but we know we need to hear it. We all know we can get better as a leader, but as we talked about last month, we confuse the perception of our leadership with the actual authenticity and the quality of our leadership. Mm. And if I have to ask for help, then are people going to lose, am I going to lose credit in people's eyes as a leader? So there's a very emotional side to this question, and I wanted us to spend some time talking about that. So Clay, personally, what is the emotional and the thought process you go through as you consider asking this question? And why do you think leaders – I mean, everybody who has heard that question thought, well, that's a great question. I should ask it. But to your point, Lane, we get right up to the brink and then decide, hey, I'll figure it out on my own. So how do you push yourself through?
Well, I think there's really two big aspects of this. There's number one, paying attention to what I'm hesitant to ask. And then number two, pay attention to why I'm hesitant to ask this question. In regards to what I'm hesitant to ask, oftentimes, if I can be honest with myself and evaluate and be contemplative in that moment and to engage in that internal debate, I think what I'll find oftentimes is that what I'm hesitant to ask usually affects an insecurity of mine. It plays on an insecurity that I have, or it attacks my identity or whatever I've built my identity around.
And I think that's so rich. And I think the fact that this whole conversation began with you inviting me in to something around which you have built your identity. Mm-hmm. And anyone who stands up in front of a group of people and puts on a microphone, we are all insecure. I mean, I don't care if you're giving a speech, if you're giving a message, right. If you're giving announcements, if you're doing a quarterly report, an annual report, you're thinking, what are they thinking? Why is she staring at her phone? What did he just write down? I mean, there's so much insecurity. So to invite someone into an area which we've built our identity as communicators or leaders, or an area that plays on our insecurity. So talk a little bit more about that. So then what do you do? I mean, you've got all these emotions raging and...
Well, and we all know, and I know our listeners are aware as well, of what an insecurity is. An insecurity is just something in my life that I'm nervous about because of the way it affects my ego. And I think oftentimes just knowing, hey, when I was something from my past or something that happened to me, that I am exceptionally sensitive in this particular area. I think that's just important to know. As a leader, it's helpful to know that you're always going to be sensitive around that area that is an insecurity to you. So whether it's the way you lead, the way you interact with people relationally, the way you are in front of people on a stage with a microphone, it's important to identify those places that you know are going to be insecurities for you. Because once you can identify the hesitation, I think then you can know, I know that hesitation is there and I'm going to make myself push my way through it.
So identifying those insecurities and identifying this is what I'm hesitant to ask about, and the reason I'm hesitant to ask about is because this is bumping up against an insecurity. That's huge self-awareness for a leader.
I think so, and I think that's hard work. Nobody wants to do that, but there's so much emotional intelligence to leadership because there's no playbook to leadership. There's no manual for me to read that the leader really is the one who's calling the plays, and so much of that plays into who I am and the makeup of me. And I think those little insecurities oftentimes build our identity, that sometimes we tend to build our identity on, I'm the boss, I'm the leader, I'm a speaker, I am a host, I am an event person, that's what I do. And so if we can figure out, okay, now it seems like I've built my identity there, then I think we can go, okay, well, since I built my identity there, I'm going to be more hesitant to ask in those areas. And again, I think just identifying it allows us to push through the hesitation of it.
Clay, in your talk, you made a great statement that I want to read to our audience and then I want to get your comment on it. You said, a mature, secure person walking in humility should be able to ask anyone anything.
Yeah, and for me, that's not easy, obviously. I don't think for anybody that's easy, but I think it's true. I think that the more mature I can become, the more secure I can become. And as long as I'm walking in humility, as long as I understand, hey, I have not arrived and I'm not there yet and I have flaws and the thing that everyone around me knows, then yeah, I think that you should be able to ask anyone, hey, what did you think about what I just did? What did you think about the presentation that I gave, about the way I pitched that sale? What did you think about it? And I think that you should be able to, any person who's mature and secure walking in humility should be able to handle the response that you get.
And I think to your point, and the reason this is so important, is when I find myself hesitating, gosh, I need to look in the mirror. I need to discover what is it that's causing me to hesitate, because I am undermining my own leadership.
Right.
I am hurting myself.
Yeah.
I'm not hurting anybody else. Yeah. I'm not saving myself from anything good. Mm-hmm. I am hurting myself. So and the reason I wanted us to talk about this for an entire podcast is because it's a great question, but it leads us to the brink of our insecurities, and it leads us to the brink of that moment in leadership where we allow our identity mm-hmm. to get in the way of our leadership mm-hmm. or our by embracing activities that, again, support who we think we are, that get in the way of leadership. And this is a really, really important topic. Then you went on from there and talked about one other thing that I thought was so good.
Yeah, I also tried to answer the question of why we're hesitant to ask. That not only there are things that we're certainly hesitant to ask, but also there are reasons why we're hesitant to ask. One of those is intimidation, that oftentimes there's just a slight sense of fear of our boss, and sometimes we're intimidated of people that work for us because they're more talented or they're more gifted, or we're afraid sometimes, and not physically afraid, obviously. I'm not physically intimidated by my bosses, but at times I have thought, you know what, I'm a little too scared, intimidated, I lack courage to be able to ask the question. Lane, I know you said, which I thought was really great, you said that no one has ever been fired for asking this question, but plenty of people would have not been fired had they asked the question.
It's very true.
Sad but true, yeah.
It is true. And I think sometimes we just fail to ask the question because we're slightly afraid to ask. We're a little bit intimidated. And then as I started thinking about it, I thought, you know what? Okay, so if I have all my insecurities identified, which will probably never happen, and if my identity is where it should be, and then I've gotten through all the intimidation, I still think there's a reason why people fail to ask. I think the last big reason is just indifference. It's just I simply just don't care enough to ask. Or oftentimes, I'm afraid that the answer to the question might cause more work on my end than I'm willing to put in.
So there's two questions. What are we hesitant to ask? And sometimes that has to do with insecurity and identity. And then the second question, and this is huge as well, is why are you hesitant to ask? Why don't we ask? And you had two great insights related to this.
Yeah, the first one is something, obviously, again, it's so personal to me. But there have been times where I've thought, you know what, okay, I want to ask this, but I bumped into this hesitation. What's happening here? And I think the why for me was that I'm just a little intimidated. I'm a little fearful, not physically intimidated, not physically afraid, but not even afraid that I'd get fired if they found out that there was a flaw there, but just it's my boss. I don't think I can actually ask this question to him or her. And I think sometimes it's people that work for us. I'm a little intimidated of this person who works for me to ask, if you were me, what would you do differently? Because oftentimes they're more talented, more gifted. I could see them doing my role better than I'm actually doing my role.
And you know that they assume they could.
Exactly.
Because every leader thinks they can.
Right. So the last thing I want to do is to give them permission to actually fill in the blank of how they would do it differently. So I think there is an element of intimidation that we all face at different times.
I feel this. And I'll tell you where I feel it. I feel it with our 30-something-year-old leaders, because I look – and Clay, you're a great example of this. You are so quick when it comes – you are so close – you are so much closer to culture than I am in some areas. The tier of leadership in our organization that you represent is actually intimidating to me. And I didn't have the courage to tell you that one-on-one, so I thought I'd tell you in front of a couple 100,000 people.
This feels good.
Yeah, it does feel good. But it is intimidating. And when you talked about this with our staff, I thought – this is something that causes me to hesitate at times to invite that next generation into my leadership decisions and some of the things that I consider, because it bumps up against it's part insecurity, it's part just a gap in knowledge, and it I think highlights and italicizes a weakness or a lack of insight sometimes that I have. But at the same time, I'm a much better communicator and I'm a much better leader if your generation and if you're the group in our organization that you represent has a pipeline mm-hmm. to me, I'm just better for it. But it mm-hmm. is oftentimes intimidating because I look at you guys lead, listen to you speak, look at the environments you create, and Lane and I look at each other and think, could we? I mean, we've said this, honestly. Yeah. We were sitting in an environment and one of us said to the other, do you think they would hire us here? I mean, honestly, do you remember that, Lane? Yeah. We were sitting in an environment and it was so well done and neither of us had anything to do with it. And we were just in awe. And I thought, wow, this organization has gone way beyond right. what I could do, and yet they still think I'm the boss. So there is an insecurity, an intimidation factor, I think, for those of us who are in senior leadership. Mm. But recognizing that and having the courage to call a group of people in that don't report to me and saying, okay, you know, if you were me, what would you do differently? Mm. You know, I'm just going to be a better leader for it.
And Clay, in your talk, you gave us a great example of this at Buckhead Church.
Yeah, Buckhead Church for us is our most unique church. We have five churches in the Atlanta area, and Buckhead Church obviously sits in the middle of Buckhead. And so their population's younger. They're far more single. And Billy Phoenix, the lead pastor there, year after year, they would bring in all of their interns that had interned there in the summer. These are all 18 to 22-year-olds. And they would bring them in, and they would tell them, hey, you guys can come in and sit with our leadership team and we will let you ask a question of us. So bring your greatest, your most favorite question, the thing you've always wanted to know. We'll pull back the curtain. And he said year after year, they realized, you know, this is just not that helpful. They're not asking great questions. We're not really offering great insight. And so he said, you know what, what we're going to do this year is we're going to turn it around. And instead of thinking about letting them come in to ask us, we're going to take advantage of their age group, of their demographic, and say, let's ask them a question. Let's ask them, if you were me, what would you do differently? And he did. And these are, most of them were people, students that had grown up in all of our environments. So they know our churches inside and out because they have lived it. And so the feedback that they unearthed when they asked these 18 to 20-year-olds, if you were me, what would you do differently? I think that there are still nuggets in there. There's still truth in there that's guiding the way Billy is leading Buckhead Church in a better way than he would have before because he had the courage to ask the question of that generation, that demographic.
And there again, it illustrates something we talked about last month. That took some time. Mm-hmm. That took some intentionality. Mm-hmm. There was learning there that would have never happened, mm-hmm. number one, if Billy hadn't created the mm-hmm. environment. And if he hadn't been secure enough mm-hmm. as a leader to say, okay, I'm the target, you guys open fire, mm-hmm. and there is no bad information, there, you know, nobody's going to get in trouble, but you're interns, you mm-hmm. know, what could possibly happen?
And Andy, you know what he found when he asked is that they all had opinions. Right. They all had an answer
what?
To the question.
20-something-year-olds
right.
with an opinion?
That's right.
How unusual.
That's right.
This last thing that you talked about is huge. You've talked about the insecurity factor, the identity factor, intimidation. There's one more, and it actually begins with an I, which is pretty,
well,
pretty impressive.
I think it was the crowning jewel of the talk,
yeah.
was that the last 4 points did begin with I. But yeah, it does. And I, you know, as I was walking through the talk and as I was actually having some conversations with some people about this, I thought, you know what? So if you work through your insecurities and you have some emotional intelligence and then you figure out, hey, does my identity lie in this area? And then you get through the intimidation of actually crossing the bridge of fear and asking the question, I still think there's one last hesitation in us that we're going to bump into. And this is probably not true for our listeners because you guys are taking the time to listen to a podcast. But I think in leaders around us and people that work with you, oftentimes we're going to find an indifference. We're going to find that the fact that, yes, we care, but we just don't care enough because I'm afraid that I might, if I ask the question, I might find an answer that's going to cause me to have to rework whatever I've put my heart into, and I'm not willing to go there.
Yeah. For those of us who are parents, you know, we see this all the time. I have three kids. One of my kids was quick to come to me with, or to my wife actually, with anything he wrote and said, okay, Mom, will you check this? Will you check this? Will you check this? Mm-hmm. And then she'd go over it with him and he'd go back, make corrections. And then I have another child who we would say, hey, would you like for us to look over that with you? No, I'm done.
Nope.
I'm done.
In fact, I'd actually did not like you.
Yeah, I would actually like for you not to read it because I'm done. I don't mm-hmm. want to go back and work on this anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. And you know what? That's a, hey, not a problem. It's a bit of a personality
thing.
But in leadership, that can happen. I'm done.
Yep.
I'm not going to invite feedback because that means I might have more work to do. So,
and we've all been there. We've all had projects that we've worked on. We've all had something that we have put all of our heart into and then gotten to the end and just said, you know what? And I don't know that we'd verbally say this, that I'm not willing to change anything at this point. But we've all gotten there. And I think that's a dangerous place to get to when you say, hey, we've done this year after year. This is the way we do it. We've created it this way and it's worked before and we're just not going to change it. That's a very dangerous place to get. The place of indifference where you say, you know what? I just don't care enough to ask the question, if you were me, what would you do differently?
Thanks again for being here. Andy, as we wrap up this two-part podcast, what were final thoughts?
I would just say this. There's probably no way to exaggerate the importance of this because in our organization, in your organization, for those of you who are listening, in your organization, there may be an insight that could make all the difference in the world to what, how you market, how you sell, how you present, how you run your organization. And you have the person in your organization or a group of people who know what you need to do, and they just don't have an on-ramp to help you and to share with you what you need to do. So to begin to ask this question, to make it part of your vocabulary, you know, if you were me, what would you do differently? If you were me, what would you do differently? I think it has extraordinary potential, and I think it's already beginning to make a difference in our leadership and our culture here. So Clay, thank you so much for taking the time to craft the statement, to put these insights together, and it's going to be fun to see what happens as a result.
And thanks to our audience for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from Andy on leadership, please visit andystanley.com.